All right, we're going to start on the Mishnah on Tetzayin Amud Bet, which is because I think the sugya is really connected into the Mishnah, so I wanted to start from the Mishnah and then we'll work our way through the sugya. Someone takes a net in his yirut and he's in a cemetery. Even if he's there for 30 days, he remains there for 30 days, they don't count towards his nizirut, meaning that this doesn't help him at all in terms of counting his nizirut. And also, even though he becomes tamei or remains tamei, he's not chayav to bring a korban tuma. So at this point in the Mishnah, we're going to see more in the Gemara, this is Machlos Amoraim, right? So this is, I think that the nizirus is chal. That you have a nizirus that in your Beit HaKvarot, and it takes effect. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. The Nazirus takes effect from day one. When it takes effect, so if it takes effect, then what should happen when it takes effect is that when you become Tameh, when a Nazir becomes Tameh, you should have to bring a Korban Tumah. How come you don't have to bring a Korban Tumah? That's because there's a Gzeres HaKatuv, that HaYamim HaRishonim Yiplu, that the first days have to fall away. I mean that there has to be some first days to fall away in order for you to bring a Korban Tumah. Over here there are no first days to fall away because you never really started your Nazirut. Because your Nazirut was Bitum'ah. And you can only start your Nazirut when you have Nazirut Bitahara, when you're Tahor. So because of that technicality, even though Nazirut is Chal, there's a Gzeres HaKatuv that you do not bring a Korban Tumah. But now, I don't know if it looks like a nazir and it smells like a nazir, in that you're going to be chayuv, or it sounds like at least from now, that you're going to be chayuv for the tiglachat and yain and maybe even tuma here for the nazir you took. You don't bring a korban tuma because of a technicality, then why doesn't it add up to a nazir? Why doesn't it add up to nazirut? That's what the Mishnah says, ve'eino olim min aminyan. It doesn't count towards the nazirut, because you need the nazirut, the tara, to count towards the nazirut that you want. Alright, so that's what, so far, that's the, well, at least how we understand the Mishnah. Then the second half of the Mishnah is this, yotzav nichnas, he leaves the kvarot, if he leaves the beit kvarot, and then he becomes tahor, not only does he leave, but nichnas, and then he returns to the beit kvarot, olam min aminyan, meaning that he started, now means that he started a count of Vitara. He became Tahor for 5 minutes, or he became Tahor. Once he becomes Tahor, then it'll trigger the other items, which is Umeidi Karban Tumah. Olam min aminyan, those 5 minutes start to count towards his Nizirut. He ruins that by becoming Tameh again. Umeidi Karban Tumah. When he returns to the Beit HaKvarot, now he has to bring a Korban Tumah. Why? Because now he does have a Yamin Harishonim Plu. He had some point of time where he started to count, and now when he goes back to the Beit HaKvarot, he's ruining that count. That is enough of a trigger to allow you to bring a Korban Tumah. Now Rabbi Elezer Omer, Lobo Bayom. Rabbi Elezer disagrees. He doesn't disagree. The only thing he disagrees about is how much time do you need to be Tahor, or how much time do you have to have started the Nizirut in order for you to bring a Korban Tumah. He says, well, one day is not sufficient. Right, whatever day you start in, that's the one day. He says you need 2 days. Why? Shenemar va'ayamim. Yamim is plural. Ayam Rishonim means at least 2 days worth of nizirut before you can bring a korban tumah. Ayam Rishonim yiplu achilo yamim Rishonim until he has first days. Okay, Yitzmar Mer says Mishnah Nazir v'hu pevei takvarot. It sounds like our Mishnah. Somebody took a Nazir. It's a bit of verb. Rabbi Yochanan amar nizirut chala alav. Reish Lakish amar in nizirut chala alav. Yochanan says nizirut is in effect, and Reish Lakish says that the nizirut is not in effect. Right. So what does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan amar nizirut chala alav. Right. Rabbi Yochanan says nizirut takes effect. Sever mitlatalia v'kaimo. It's there. It's hanging. It's hanging and waiting. Came into Mishkach Taro Kaila. And once it binds Taro, it sounds like then it takes effect. Although even though it sounds like from Yochanan that it was already Chal, it was Chal in the Nizirut for what purposes we're going to see. But in the interim, it doesn't work for your Nizirut. Nizirut for Taro. For counting towards Taro, there's no Chalos Nizirut. But with regards to other items, there is a Chalos Nizirut. And what is that? What are those other items that are the chalos nizirut? So we'll see that in a second, what it means that there is a chalos nizirut for the other items. So the Rosh says, I'm gonna make you look for it. It'll be too hard, but I'll just read it to you. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Nizirut Chala Alav. It comes into effect. Le'esor b'yayin b'tiklachat. Becomes usher in wine and cutting his hair. So he is in the Beit HaKavarot, right? So he's tameh. So there's a chisaron in his nizirut with regards to the tumah, but there's a full chalus net in the nizirut with regards to the other items. And the nizirut takes effect, and you are now responsible for yayin and tiglachat. Tumah, you are tameh, so that is suspended until you leave the Beit HaKavarot. When you leave the Beit HaKavarot and become tahor, that last piece of the nizirut will take effect. Right, the tumah aspect will take effect according to the Rosh. And therefore, when you leave, and then you only start your count, your minyan, the zeros only starts from the time that you come to Or, because then all three are in effect. Right? That's the point at which all three, Yayin, Tiklachat, and Tumah are in effect. That's when you start to count your zeros. That's the way the Rosh learns. Tosfos, on the other hand, says over here that when Rabbi Yochanan says that it's Chala Alav, if you look down below, it's the 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the bottom. It's the Dere Matko, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nizirut Chala Alav. Do you see that? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nizirut Chala Alav. It says, the Chol Milen, for everything. The Lokibo Dersham, Atuma, Imitribo. That's not just Yain and Tiglachas. Even Tuma, he's Skype for in this Nizirut. And when it comes to Hor, he does not have to re-accept the neder nizirut upon him. So there's, you see, I'm focusing between the Rosh and the Tosos exactly what he is responsible for when he is in this Beit HaKavarot. According to the Rosh, Tumah is suspended because it doesn't make sense that he should be chayav for Tumah because he's standing in a place that is Tameh. He's Tameh before he even starts the game. So therefore he's chayav for Yayin v'Tiglachat according to the Rosh, but Tumah is something that only comes once he makes himself Tahor and there's room for it to be chal later on. Whereas the Tosfot says, no, he's chayav for everything. He's chayav for tiglachat, yayin, tumah, every piece of the aspect in his zirut, he's chayav for from now. So what is the suspension? What are we waiting for then? If he's chayav in everything, the suspension is that he can't start counting his zirut till he becomes tahor, because we need a nizirus betara to actually count towards your neder nizirut. And that's what the suspension is for. Yeah, it's chal to pay its full force. But, you know, if you want to count this towards the neder nizirut you took, you need to be tahor in order for it to count towards your neder nizirut.
It's almost as if a person was a regular nazir and he made the neder nizirut and then makom tara and then nafala love mace, right? So then he has to wait. So he has to be mitaher, and during those 7 days of tahara, he still can't drink wine.
Right. He still can't violate the nidre nizirut. Only difference is, and we'll see this again and again during the talk, is that here he doesn't have to bring a korban tumah because he never entered a nizirus v'tahara, and that's what hayamim amiyabonim rishim yiplu. Right. There's something that has to be removed in order for him to become a chayav korban tumah. Right. Now, it's lucky, Shamar, any Zirut Chalalav, Zirut does not take effect at all. If he goes in later on and accepts Nazirut again, then he is a Nazir, otherwise he's not a Nazir. So what's the Chiddush here? The Mefarish over here, if you look in the Mefarish where it says, Vereish Lokish Amar, he says, Yehadar Amar, Ehei Kimoshi Kibalti. I'll be like I accepted Beveit HaKvarot, Chayalalei. Afagav Delo Mefarish Ehei Nazir. So the Mefarish over here says that even Reish Lakish, if Reish Lakish says you need to be Mekabel and Nazir later on, then what did he do at all? It was what he did in Beit HaKavarot effective in any way whatsoever. So some of you shall learn that Reish Lakish says he's ineffective. There is no Nebi Nazir, so there's nothing. It's a zero. Right? The Mefarish over here, and the Tosus brings him down on the next Talmud, suggests that this person now is entitled to have an abbreviated acceptance of his nazirut. He can reference the nazirut he made in the Beit HaKavarot, because of that he doesn't have to, specifically state a full neder nazirut. He can just say, I'll be like I wanted to be in the Beit HaKavarot, but now I'm not, so it works when I'm outside.
And since we really require a proper declaration of nazirut for him to be a nazir, so he made a proper declaration, he can activate that proper declaration. He doesn't have to.
Right.
Even though it didn't take effect over the Rosh, it's still there. Right.
There's a hafla'a that's there, and you can reference that hafla'a in order to trigger your neder nizirut. Very good. Alright, so now, Eitmei Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, guess what Rabbi Yochanan is going to ask Rish Lakish from? Our Mishnah, right? Because we explained our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is that the nether was chal right away. And here, Rish Lakish is not chal, right? So that's the first question Rabbi Yochanan is going to ask Rish Lakish. Later on in the Gemara, we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish ask themselves a lot of questions. And Tosfot here says what he said earlier, and the Rosh brings it down also later on. Maybe not this, but the Rosh says over here, he says that don't think that Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are actually speaking here. He says that the Gemara is speaking on their behalf. Alright, that the Gemara is seeing their opinions, and based on their opinions, the Gemara is using them or speaking or asking these questions on their behalf. He says that's the way the Gemara works. It's not that they actually spoke to each other, this discussion ever took place, but they're saying, oh, if these are their positions, this is what they asked each other, because the Gemara is going to have a suffix about what their positions are, and then it's going to change all the questions. Mark says, well, the verse says, how could they have to, I mean, if they have this discussion, how do they ask the different questions? Then we'll know what they say. So the verse says, no, it's Gemara making up the questions based on what their opinions are. Okay, so whether Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, this is really a conversation that happened, or the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Yochanan would ask Rish Lakish this question, right? Someone who took an N0 and he's a beta kvarot, that's our mission. Carbon tumah, who do not might, he's not going to bring a carbon tumah, ha mechel chaylele. Otherwise, the nether nizirut is effective, right? That's what we said, that the nether nizirut is chal from day one. It's effective, well, it depends who you think, like Rosh or the Tosfos, is effective for a certain amount of the, right, Yisurim or the restrictions, but that will not, he just will not bring a carbon tumah for that. So, how does Rish Lakish answer this? Amalei, eino b'torat tumah, veino b'torat karban. Right, that he's not in the parsha of Nezirut at all. What does it mean, eino b'torat, eino may be karban tumah? It means that he's not even in the world of Nezirut. It means entirely out of the world of Nezirut. Alright, eitavei, now another question. Misha, yatamei. The Rishonim point out an equivalence or an equate between someone who's tamei and takes a net in Nezirut and someone who's in a beta kvarot and takes a net in Nezirut. Same thing, right? It's the same exact case. So here, Misha Yatamei Vinazar, and he took an Ed in his root, Osir LeGaleach Vilishtot Yain Vilutamei LeMeitim. Now he'll be restricting on all of these three items, which presents a little bit of a problem for the Rosh, right? The Rosh said that when it's Chal, right, it's only Chal for the Yayin and the Tiglachat and not the Tumah. From this line in the Gemara, it sounds pretty, from this Tosef that the Gemara is bringing, it sounds like you're Osir in everything, right? Across the board. If you violate any of these, you get Malkus. You get Malkus if you violate any of these three. So that's the problem for Rish Lakish, because here you see that there's a full-fledged Neda Nezirut in effect here, and you're going to even get Malkus for it. So how can Rish Lakish say, yeah, nothing happened, you only wait till afterwards, right? Now you see here that there's a full-fledged Neda Nezirut. But so figure that Bayan, how does he get Malkus here? That's an interesting problem. Why? Because it's a lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. Right? It's a lav without a mice over here. So there's actually a Tosfos on Yedzayin Amud Aleph. You want to take a look at it. Yedzayin Amud Aleph is a Tosfos that says, how does this work? It's the last line in Tosfos. It's easy to find. If you go into Yedzayin Amud Aleph, the last line in Tosfos, the lav hide, lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. Right, this is a lav shempo maisa. So one possibility in Tosfos is that this is only according to the opinion that what? That lav shempo maisa gets malchus. Right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says lav shempo maisa gets
about, which case are we talking about?
The case in any of these cases where he doesn't have a maisa, nitmam mate, right? He's tamei. He took a net in his zero, so now he's going to get malchus for being tamei. He just, all he did was stay like he was. He didn't do anything, right? He didn't take any action, yet he's going to get Malkus here. So why is that? So either it's a point of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, you get Malkus for, and it gives an alternative answer. The Lav, high to Lav she'ein bo ma'aseh, but you keep it on the Zirut. Right, that when he takes on the Nezirut, it's like Lav she'ein bo ma'aseh. Lav she'ein yesh bo ma'aseh hu, but ma'aseh enu yotze b'sham, kishinod de b'nozir. It's a very strange Tosfos. This says that when you take a neder nezirut and don't leave there, it's the equivalent of a maisa. So even though you're inactive, we assign an action to you because you're not moving out of there. So I read this Tosfos and said, "Oh my gosh, I don't understand it. I don't understand what he's saying here."
Anytime there's
no mice,
I just say it's
a exactly. Exactly. I don't understand as well, so I felt better that the Marav Rutschberg here also asked the same question. That's that little tet. You see that little tet inside the Tosfos there? Mm-hmm. He also says, I don't know what he's talking about. So he says, if you look in that little tet in the Marav Rutschberg, If you can find it, do you guys? I don't know where it is. I'm sure you guys, you find it. You got it. It's in the little tet there. It says nearby nice svarazok v'choka kitzat. It's a slightly difficult svara to swallow, which why he said it, right? The echi chashesek gemaisa. How can any inaction be construed in action, right? So the same Tosfos says in Shavuos that what should dafuku bazed the azul sugi in the mandamar lokin alav should be in bumaisa. So the easiest way to explain this Gemara is to say that this goes, and that's what the Ran. The Ran says in the Dorim that this sugya goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, the one who says that lav shein bo maisa lokin alav. That's what the Ran in the Dorim says. Oh, the isher malchus amar. Not literally that you're going to get malchus, but it's an isher lav, which would be the equivalent of getting, you know, not that you will fixly get malchus, but you will bite a lav that should get you malchus, but not that you do get malchus. Isher malchus. The Ran brings that also. About the Dash Rav Magid, this is a very interesting. There's a Magid Mishnah that says Kol Lav Sheefshar Yidei Maise Lo Ke Ap Hecha Deimbo Maise. It's a big chiddush of the Rav Magid. Whenever you have a lav that can be violated by using an action, then even when you violate it without that action, it's still considered a maise. I mean the nature of the lav, not the nature of your action, which determines. Right, whether it's a lapshu eimbo maisa or lapshu yeshbo maisa. So generally, because...
Those are becoming tummy, usually that would require an action.
Exactly.
Here, he was already coming when he took the vow of the Sipurus, so he doesn't have the action, but except the nature of it.
If it's lav, it's a lav that generally is violated through a maisa. Since it's generally violated through a maisa, that even when it's violated without a maisa, it's considered a lapshu yeshbo maisa.
That's right, because it's called a lav.
What?
It wasn't
my scientist.
Yeah, it was.
He was on the. That predated the.
It's so hard to understand about Tosfos because basically he created a actively created a context in which he was going to be. Which he was going to.
First of all, you have two steps. First of all, is that whether even a miro is a maisa, right? You have to first get over that hump. Whether speaking is a maisa. Alright, so now you've assumed that you've gotten over that hump, that saying the net in the Nazirus is a maisa. Alright, so assume that you get over that hump. If you do that, all you've done is activate the Nazirus. You never made, what action did you take? That, a physical action that you took. There is no physical action here. It's hard to argue that there's any physical action that he's doing.
I like the problem because it's called the lav shein bo maisa. It's the lav that has no.
Right, so he's saying that. It's not a simple Magid Mishnah, but this is very funny. And then he says, Umikan he says, this is a great example to the Magid Mishnah's position. And as he says, that's how you should learn the Gemara here. This is a lav that generally is violated through a maisa, and therefore it's a lav sheyeshbo maisa. Here he violated without a maisa, he's still chayav. And he goes, here's a great proof to the Magid Mishnah. It's just interesting, Maram Runsberg, but I just wanted to point it out, because the Tosfos is difficult, and you have to deal with this issue that there is no maisa here in violating the net, violating the law. Alright, so now the Gemara, continue with the argument on Tetzayinu Mutbet, that's third to last line on Tetzayinu Mutbet. If you say that the Nezirus takes effect, then it makes sense that he gets Malkus, right? Because otherwise, why would you get Malkus? According to Beis Lakish, which says there's no Nezirus effective now, why would he get Malkus? Says, no problem, how come my skin and Biyotchev and Nechmas? He went out, and he came back in. Oh, if he went out and came back in, what's the finish of the Tosefta? He went out, he accepted a full Nazirus, he got Tahor, accepted Nazirus, he comes back in, of course he's Chayav. Now he's a regular Nazir. So what's the finish? So the two possibilities in what the finish is here. One, the Mefari says the finish is Lafukim Rabbi Elezer. That what? What did Rabbi Elezer say? That you have to wait 2 days before you can then become Chayav for Karban Tumah or for the Nazirus to be effective, right? So now...
2 days after you become Tahor.
Right. Or whatever, a day and a half from the first day plus another day.
Okay.
You have to have 2 days to be effective to become a Nazir. So this is Lafuke Rabbi Elezer. This comes to exclude the position of Rabbi Elezer because he just came out and went right back in and it's not, then he already is Chayav. It's Chayav Nazir. But I would point out that I'm not sure that's true because all Rabbi Elezer says is in order to be Chayav for Karban Tuma, right, then you need to have Taro for 2 days. Rabbi Elezer never said, right, for Malkus, never said for the Chalus and Neder Nazirus, he never said that it's not Chal if you go back in beforehand. So I'm not sure that's
true. No, I don't know. The implication is actually that it's just the Taro's custom, since it's a Yomi, so therefore...
Right. Right, very good. So I'm not sure that's the answer. The other Rishon, the Rosh and the Tosu say here, the finish of the Tosefta is like Rashi, but like the Mefaris on the previous Talmud. What did the Mefaris say? That you can trigger the Neder Nazirus not without flaw, but by referencing the original Neder Nazirus here. And the finish of the Tosefta is that exactly that. That Yotzei V'Nichnas, he can go back in by triggering, he could say, I want to be like I said I was in the Beit HaKvarot, and that triggers a full-fledged Neder Nezirut. And that's the Peshat HaSefta that generates a form of Zirut that makes you Chayav even for Malchus here. And that's what Tosfos and the rest say, the Chiddush is.
He has to say that while he's on the outside, presumably. Before he goes back in.
Yeah. He has to sit before he goes back in. He has to be when he's Torah. He has to accept the Nezirus during Torah. Not because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't matter, but because in order to generate the Nezirus to Torah that can allow you to bring a Korban Tumah and all the other things, you need that to happen. And for Reish Lakish also, you don't have an Eder Nezirus until it's done to Torah. Alright, now, one more question, and then the Gemara today is going to be a repetition of these three questions over again. We're going to do it twice. We're going to do this cycle twice. Alright, I need to say, Ein Beit Tameish Nazar Benazir. Right, so then there's not a person who was Tamei and then took a Neder Nezirut, or a Tahor Shenitma, or someone who was Tahor and then became Tamei. What's the difference between someone who's already Tamei takes a Neder Nezirut to someone who is already Tahor and becomes Tamei while he's a Nazir Ela Tameishin Nazar Shri Shalol Alul Minyan? Someone who is Tamei and took a Neder Nezirut while he was Tamei, then when he becomes Tahor on the seventh day of his Tara, that already starts his Nezirut. Nazir Tahor Shenitma Ein Shri Shalol Alul Minyan. But a Nazir who's Tahor already, when he becomes Tamei, then Ein Shri Shalol Alul Minyan. Why not? What's the difference between them? The difference between them is Karban Tuma. Right? If you are already a Nazir Tahor, and then you become Tamei, you have to get 7 days to become Tahor, plus you need to bring your Karbanei Tuma, right? A Nazir that becomes Tamei brings Karbanot for the Tuma, brings three Karbanot, right? Olah Chatat, and then Hashem.
It brings those on
The eighth day. Because he brings them on the, that's going to be a problem. I'll answer your question in a second. He brings them on the eighth day. So he has to finish up the seventh day. Plus, he has to bring Karbanot on the eighth day. So he can't start his new count, right? Because that's what the Psukim. The Psukim say, until you bring your Karbanot and cut your hair, then you don't start your new count. So that's the Karbanot Tumah. So he can't start till the eighth day. Whereas, a Nazir, who is Tamei when he takes the Neder Nezirut, does he bring Karbanot Tumah? The answer is no. That's our mission. Our mission is, if you take a Neder Nezirut while you're in the Beit HaKvarot, so you don't bring a Karban Tumah, because you never had Yiplu Yamim HaRishonim. You never have days to knock off in order to bring a Karban Tumah. If you don't bring a Karban Tumah, then all you need are 7 days to become Tahor. Right? On the day, seventh day you become Tahor, you can start your count of Nezirut. So, Tzvi asked a good question. What about Harav Shemesh? What do you mean? To become Tahor on the seventh day, you're not Tahor from Mace until the sun sets on you on the seventh day. You go to the mikvah on the seventh day, and then you have to wait. After you get sprinkled on the third and the seventh day, then you go to the mikvah, and then you wait for Harav Shemesh on that last day. You need the sun to set on the last day for you to become Tahor. So how can it be? After he goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, we're saying, all right, start your Nezirus, your Bitarah.
I think Harav Shemesh should be able to be trim, right? Do we say that? You know, that a non-Kohen is, is also not, is not Tahor.
All right, so you're on the right track. That's exactly totally says what you're saying. There are actually levels of Tumah that get retracted here. That when a person goes to the mikvah before the sun sets, he's called a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom is a Sheni L'Tumah. He's a lower level form of Tumah. He's no longer a Tamei Tumah Meisi. Look, he drops his level down. His Tumah is Niklash. That's what the Tosafot says. He has a lighter form of Tumah. Harav Shemesh takes away, removes that Tumah, and allows him to eat the Truma. And then the Karbanos, if he has a requirement of Karbanos, Mechusarei Kapara, allow him to eat in bring Karbanos and go into the Mikdash. So over here, that's what Tosa says. Tosa says something like what Joel was saying, is that after he goes to the mikvah, before the sun sets, he's already at a lower form of Tumah. And that lower form of Tumah, that allows Nezirus to start. It allows Nezirus to be Chal, even though he's not purely Tahor. That's how Tosa answers the question of what do we do with Harav Shemesh over here. Okay, now, according to Reish Lakish, this Ein Bein is a big problem. Why? Because you see, the only difference between someone who is Tahor and becomes Tamei, and someone who's Tamei already and takes an energy route is the Korban. According to Reish Lakish, what do you mean? The whole thing is different. One of them is a Nazir and one's not a Nazir. They left out Ikar Chasim and a Sefer. Ein Bein, everything's different between them. They're a world apart. One's a Nazir and one's not. See, Shakadat Luchal, I might all in a minion. I mean, what are you talking about here? Why does anything, if it's not Chal at all, why are we talking about, right, what are we talking about getting Malkus, or what are we talking about, sorry, not even Malkus here, how can you start in the Zeus? And how does the Nazirus start at the day 7 when there is no Nazirus here? He has to go out and accept another Nazirus. Ah, you say, oh, Yatsav and Nefnas? That's what we did the other bright. So that's a little bit too much to be missing from over here. Right here, they're saying, Ain Bang, they're giving a principle, and then they forgot to mention that he has to go out and accept the Nazirus for these to be the same. That means, like, that's, again, Ikar Chasav and a Sefer, it's missing. So here, this is a huge problem for Reish Lakish. So now we're going to go in a different direction. And that's going to say, Amar Mar Bar Rav Ashi. Amar Bar Rav Ashi. Michal Kuli Alma Lo Pligi De Chayle. Everybody agrees. Reish Lakish and Reopen at the Ned and Zerus is Chal. Eloki Pligi Le Milke. Their Mabuk is about whether you get Malkus or do not get Malkus. Reopen at Savar Kevin De Chayle Lucky. Since it's Chal, you get Malkus. Reish Lakish Savar Lo Lucky De Chayle. That it takes effect, but you do not get Malkus. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you get Malkus for? What does it mean? It's Chayel, and you get Malkus. So, according to the Mefarish, you get Malkus on everything. You get Malkus on Yayin, on Tiglachat, and Tuma. And all three of them, you're going to get Malkus. Alright, that doesn't matter. So now, according to Reish Lakish, everything's Chal. You have to be shown me yourself, but you don't get any Malkus. According to the Mefarish, Rabbi Yochanan says across the board you're getting Malkus. Tuma, Tiglachat, and Yayin. And that's not true of the Tosfos and the Rosh. The Rosh says, the Rosh also learns, actually I take it back, the Rosh learns like the Mefarish and says that Rabbi Yochanan says when they argue about Malkus, it's on Tuma. Right? So just because, and their Malkus is like this. The way Mefarish learns is, Rabbi Yochanan says no Malkus at all. Rabbi Yochanan says Malkus on everything. The way the Mefarish learns is that there's no Malkus about Tiglachat and Yayin. Everybody agrees you get Malkus for Tiglachat and Yayin. Their only Malkus is about Tuma. Do you get Malkus for Tuma or not get Tuma? That's Rabbi Yochanan says, since you get Malkus for Yayin and Tiglachat, you're also going to get Malkus for Tuma. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you're Tuma. When you started, you can't get Malkus for Tuma. So yes, Yayin and Tiglachat, that's fine, you're going to get Malkus for that. Whereas by Tuma, you're not going to get Tuma, you're not going to get any Malkus at all. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue according to the Rosh. And then Tosfos has a third opinion. If I can just find it quickly. Here. He says the same thing as the Rosh. But what did Nami, the mother is Shimon ben Lakish, the lucky Tokhime Tumatash Tiyav Tiglachas. He pleaded the milking, perish a Tuma Lachud. The only thing they argue about here is whether they get Malkus for Tuma. Okay, that's the way the Rosh and the Mefarish and the Tosfos learn. Whereas the Mefarish learns now that there's across the board Malkus. Is there Malkus here at all or not at all? And that's the two ways to learn it. There happens to be a third way, which is in Gemara in the Darim. The Ron, who basically is quoted in the Gemara in the Darim, and the Ron says, oh, what does it mean that their Malkus is about? See, this is what the Ron says. Listen to this. Ron says, the Rabbi Yochanan, if he eats wine or gets a haircut of Beit HaKvarot, lucky he gets Malkus. The Chayel in Nizirus Miyad. That's, so the Nizirus works to get Malkus for Tiglachas and Yayin. Reish Lakish, well, Chayel in Nizirus Miyad, and if he nothing Beit HaKvarot, Tzarech Lang Zodah Kabel. He has to go back and accept it. Alright? Below Tzarech Kabel with Nirka, Lina Malkus with the Pligi, lucky Al Chlis and Navim, below the Beit HaKvarot. And Reish Lakish argues about whether you get the Malkus in the basic verse for Yayin and Tiglachat. Those are three different opinions about what Marbar Rav Ashi means to Machlokus is here. Right, we'll just go over them quickly and then we'll go into the Gemara. The Mefarish here says, the simplest reading of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says, lucky you get Malkus for everything. That's Tuma, Tiglachas, and Yayin. Reish Lakish says, well, lucky you get no Malkus at all. Right, that's the way the Rashi learns. That's the most extreme position, right? Machlokus says everything and Reish Lakish says nothing. Right? On the other side, we have Ron, who says, the Tosfos and the Rosh on the other side that say that Rabbi Yochanan says you get Tiglachas and Yayin, you get Malkus, and so does Reish Lakish. Even Reish Lakish agrees that you get Malkus for Tiglachas and Yayin. The only thing they argue about is this one point in Tuma. Do you get Malkus for Tuma, or do you not get Malkus for Tuma? That's the Malkus between them. And then you have the Ron, which is his interposition that what? Their whole Malkus is about Tiglachas and Yayin. That's the argument. Everybody agrees no Malkus for Tuma. Tiglachas and Yayin. Rabbi Yochanan says you get Malkus for Tiglachas and Yayin. And Reish Lakish says no Malkus for Tiglachas and Yayin. That's what their Machlokus is about here. Okay? So that's the three ways to learn what their Machlokus is here according to Mar Bar Rav Ashi. And now the Gemara is going to ask all the questions we asked before, and we're going to race through those questions again. Okay, Eitve, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish again pointed out here that this is not necessarily that they're speaking, but the Gemara is saying this, because otherwise What was the question, right? That's our Mishnah. Doesn't make a carbon tuma. Ha, milkaloki. Our Mishnah says the only thing that he's not respect for his ears for is that he doesn't make a carbon tuma. Doesn't say he doesn't get malchus. Sounds like he gets malchus already. It should have said the Mishnah also that he doesn't get malchus. But since in the latter half of the Mishnah, to exclude from Rabbi Elazar, he has to say when he goes out and comes back in, he has to get bring in korban tuma. So in reference to the seifa, the ratio just says eino maybe korban tuma, right? But on a ratio, eino maybe korban tuma. But he doesn't get malchus. Nothing happens. He's just referencing the seifa parallel structure, saying that he doesn't bring in korban tuma. Tashma. Now the next question that we write: Ein bein tamei shenazir l'nazir tohor shenitma. Right, so there's no difference between a tamei that took a nidin zirut, but a nazir tohor it became tamei. Elisha tamei shenazir shvi shelo olol minyan, but a nazir tohor shenitma ein shvi shelo olol minyan. Halam malchus zed zeh shavim. Sounds like between the two of them that for malchus they are totally equal. They're totally equal. Guess who's pshat? That sounds like that. Either sounds like the mafarish over here that the opponent says he gets malchus for everything, or according to Tosfos and the Rosh, you would say that just like he gets malchus for tiglach and yan, he also gets it for tuma. That's what it sounds like from this. Amalei lo, the tiglacha zevzev shavim. They both agree that by tiglachas they get malchus. That sounds like what? That even Reish Lakish agrees by tiglachas that you get malchus. That sounds like Tosfos and the Rosh over here. Amalei inyan malchus, my zeloka v'zein aloka. Comes to malchus, this one gets malchus and this one does not get malchus. What does that mean that they're equal? Equal to tiglachat, that's a question. Right, what does it mean that they're equal for tiglachat? Either you say they're equal for tiglachat, like Tosfos and the Rosh mean that they both get malchus for tiglachat, right? Or
maybe it means that he's not allowed to be
mekaleach.
In other words,
right.
Even though
there's a restriction against being mekaleach, but not necessarily that you get malchus. Everybody agrees that there's a chalus shame for tiglachos. Or there is one more possibility, which is that the tiglachos are ashamed that they. The mitzvah tiglachas that they have to do that on the seventh day they have to do a tiglachas, which means that we're going to see this is going to be a question later on in the Gemara, but that even though he doesn't bring a carbon tumah, he still has to cut his hair on the seventh day. That even though he has to wait 7 days of tumah, he has to cut his hair on the seventh day. Even though he doesn't bring a tumah because of zeres hakatu, still has to do a tiglachas. So that means tiglachas shem shavim is that they both agree that you have to get a haircut. A shave off on the seventh day. Well, that's a pretty major difference between them. Whether you get malchus or not, then say, ain't Ben, you're trying to explain the differences between them. Write it. So when I says the takante kamari bekukule lo kamari. So that Mishnah is trying to address the things that they have to do, the active things they need to do to become a full-fledged Nazir again, to get back into their count. They're not talking about a guy who's being bemazed, he's being drinking wine and, becoming Tamei. That's not what we're addressing over here in this Mishnah. True, if he did these things, he would get malchus, but that's not what the Mishnah is addressing. The Mishnah is addressing, from this point forward, what do they need to do to start their count again? So they're talking about, so that's why it did not address the issue of malchus. Tashma, Mishiyatameh Benazar, so that's our, right, we brought it in a different order, but the same question we had before. Also, the Galeach was called Yain, Bim Galeach was called Yain, Benim Tamadam Meitim, or is this Sofigat Arabayim, he gets Malchus. That sounds exactly like Rabbi Yochanan to Yufta. That's a very strong question. Reish Lakish is really not going to have a good answer for this, because it openly says that if you take a net of the zeros while you are Tamei, then you get Malchus. If you get Malchus, that is Rabbi Yochanan. Right now, wow, what would you answer? What do we answer for Reish Lakish before with this? Right, so you'd say Benichnas. But now, what? Now we can't say that anymore. Why? Because before we said that Reish Lakish believed there was no chalos and neder and zirus. Nothing took effect. So Yotzei Benichnas, he had to do to get a chalos and neder and zirus. Over here, even Reish Lakish agrees that there's a chalos and neder and zirus immediately. All he disagrees with is whether there's malchus or not. So hey, now you can't say Yotzei Benichnas. Yotzei Benichnas, what do you need to be Yotzei Benichnas? He already has a chalos neder nezirus. So that's the problem why you can't answer that now for on behalf of Reish Lakish. This is a very strong question against Reish Lakish. Alright, now, Boi Rova, now that we assume that the Rabbi Yochanan is right, that when you are in the Beit HaKvarot, or you are Tamei, and you take a neder nezirus, that you get malchus right away. So by Rava, Nazir Rehu Beit HaKvarot, Mahu. When do you become Chayiv for Tuma when you're in the Beit HaKvarot? By Shiel Malkus Olam. Do you need to wait? Meaning that, how do you become Tamei? When you are, he's already Tamei in the Beit HaKvarot. Now, how does he now become Tamei again, that he can become Chayiv and Malkus? What do you have to do? If, does he become immediately Chayiv and Malkus? You say to him, if you're there, you're Chayiv Malkus. That's not Sra. He gets Malkus right away. Or, we have to say he has to wait. There's a Gemara in Shavuos that tells us that there's a certain amount of time. Someone will come to Tamei in the Mikdash. They must leave the Mikdash immediately. What's the amount of time he has to leave the Mikdash? He has to, the amount of time that it would take him for him to bow down and go the shortest way out. If he lays or he tarries any more than that, that's called Shia, that's called waiting, and you'll be Chayiv for Kares there, for waiting the Tumah. If you do that, if you become Tamei in that case, you'll be Chayiv for Tumah. So do we apply the same thing here? That he has that Shia, he has that waiting time, so he has to remain or tarry in the Beit HaKvarot. You've got a time of Shia in order for him to come in Chayiv for Tumah, or does he immediately become Chayiv for Tumah over here? Hey, Chidami, what's the case? If they say to him, don't take an end in the Zeros, you're in a Beit HaKvarot. Lamali Shia. What do you have to wait for? Nazir, my time Alobai Shia. A regular Nazir who becomes Tamei. He has to wait to become Tamei. No, if you tell him, don't touch this mace, and he goes in and touches this mace, right, then become Achive, Achanami Kamachive. If you warn him and say, don't touch this mace, he is Chayim right away. So too, if you tell him, don't take the end in the Zeros in the Beit HaKvarot, he's Chayim immediately. Ella, what's the case? Kagon Shin Nichnas Vishida Teva. He came in a sealed room, right? Some sort of sealed item. He was in it within a self-contained ohel. So therefore, he's in the Beit HaKvarot, and he takes him in his zirut in his little, right, his little mobile home there that is moving through the Beit HaKvarot where he's not Tamei. So since he takes it in there, he took the net in his zeros, he was fine. When he took the net in his zeros, there was nothing wrong with it. He was in a place that is tahor. He had a good friend, Uparala Me'aziba. He went ahead and he took off the corking, right, or the caulking from the box and opened up the bottom. While he was in the Beit HaKvarot, this guy says, oh, you want to be a joker? And takes the thing off and lets him out. Now he's Tamei. So he took the net in his zeros when he's inside. That's fine. Now he's Tamei because he came into Beit HaKvarot. Kikimirin, Shia Beveta Mikdash. When we say that for Tuma, you have to wait to become Tamei, you have to tarry, that's only in the din, it's a din in Beis HaMikdash. That's specific to Beis HaMikdash. Oh, about a bride, but outside of Beis HaMikdash, there's no such shit. Oh, Dilma, lo shnam. It makes no difference. And even in the Zirut, you'd also have to wait for Tuma, Teku. The Gemara says we don't have an answer for how long or how much time you need in order to become Tamei. It does point out, and the Rosh both point out over here, that the case in the Mikdash, the limud by the Mikdash, said it was an ones. When he became Tamei, he was an ones. You can't say, we can't make up the case that he forgot he was a Nazir and he went into the Beit HaKvarot and then he became Tamei. Because that's not an equivalent case that which happened in the Mikdash. That's why they have to come up with this convoluted case where he's in this sealed box, he ends up in there, and then his friend pulls away the bottom, so he's an ones with regards to the Tumah. Because only when he's an ones with regards to the Tumah in the Mikdash do we say that we have this principle of Shia to become Chayiv. So over here we have to create a case where he was an ones. The Gemara says we don't know if we apply it or not by Nazir. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. All right, by Rabashi, Nazar behu beBeit HaKvarot. So ungiluach olav. So this is what I said to you before when we said tiglachet halat tiglachet shavin. Right? I said to you, what does it mean? It means they both have to get a haircut. Is that really true? That's what Rabashi is asking right now. Rabashi is asking, if you take a net in the Zirut, and you're in the Beit HaKvarot, everybody agrees you do not bring a Korban Tumah. Why? Because you're missing the Yamim HaRishonim Yiplu. That is that you don't bring a Korban Tumah. Do you still have to cut your hair on the seventh day? One of the requirements of a Nazir who is Tamei, right? One of the process to become Tahor again, right? It says, V'chi Yamut Meit Alav Kepetah Pantom. Mitzimei Rosh Nizro, Bigilach Rosho, Biyom Tarato, Biyom Ashvi'i Yigal Chenu. He has to what? Cut his hair on the seventh day. Does that count the LSM? Uba Yom Ashmini, and then on Yom Ashmini he brings the Karbanot. And at the end of that paragraph, in the last part of that pasuk, and you bet it says, Ayamim Arishoni Yiplu, Ki Tamei Nizrel. The Ayamim Arishoni will fall. When it says, Ayamim Arishoni Yiplu, does that only reference back to the Karbanot? Right, that you need for the Xeris of Kotl to have Karbanot, the Yamim Rishonim, you need days of Tara to fall away in order to bring a Karban. But with regards to shaving his head, that's independent. And he's got his cut out of the same day. Or, do we say Yamim Rishonim is referencing the whole situation of a Azir B'Tumah. It references the whole situation of Azir B'Tumah. That means both to get have his head shaved plus bring Karban Tumah, you need yamim arishonim yiplu. That's Rav Ashi's question. Rav Ashi's question is, do you need giluach there or not? Kibay tiglachat tohor shenitma. Is it you only get a haircut, you only get shaved your head for the tumah when it was someone who was tohor, then later became tamei? The kamatame lin is zurutay because he's becoming tamei for the zurut. Aval tamei shenazar. Lo, someone already is tamei when he starts the zurut. He won't have to do it. Odim alo shenach. Maybe it makes no difference. Tashma. Mishenazar behu beit akparot. Afilah shem disar mishnah. Afilah shem shloshim yom in olo lamina minyan. If he's there for 30 days, it does not count towards his camp. Ve'enu may be karban tuma. What does the Mishnah say he doesn't do? He doesn't make a karban tuma. Karban tuma do almighty. I'm a giluchei boying. Right? Our Mishnah only says, and our Mishnah is that he doesn't bring a karban tuma. Never addresses shaving his head. Sounds like he does have to shave his head. But what he doesn't do is bring a karban tuma. So he says, no, the Mishnah says, what do you mean, matam kamar? It's giving me a reason. Matam enu may be karban tuma. Why doesn't he bring a karban tuma? Mishnah de lo by giluchei. Because he doesn't shave. Meaning that there's no application of nazir bituma to him. He's totally mufka. He's right, totally eliminated from the parsha of nazir bituma. Right, Tashma. What about this next case? Ain't bein tamei shenazar lenazir, tamei shenazar. No difference between a tamei who took a net in the zirut and nazir tahor shenitma, nazir tahor, ella, tamei shenazar shvi shalo olo l'minyan. Right, that counts for him. He can start his zirut on the seventh day. Nazir tahor shenitma, ain't shvi shalo olo l'minyan. Doesn't count towards him for his minyan. My love, halatiglachat zevezeh shavim. That's what I said to you. The interpretation on, yes, on the previous Talmud is what? That they're equal for tiglachat. What does it mean they're equal for tiglachat? That both of them get shaved on the seventh day. So lo, halamalkus zevezeh shavim. Ah, now we're already on to Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, if we're going to like Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have to say tiglachat. That's only, that, we needed that answer for, excuse me, for Reish Lakish. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, you could say that what? They're equal for Malkus. So the Ein Bein comes to see they're equal for Malkus, but not for Avodah Tiglachas. My Zemigaleach is the Einu Migaleach. Mark says, Whitney. That's the difference between them. Write the difference. If you're taking Ein Bein, there are no other differences besides, tell us that difference of cutting the hair. Mark says, Tana Shvi Shalom B'chol Milei. It says, the difference between them is their seventh day. What do you mean that their seventh day? Their seventh day. Everything that applies to the seventh day. What's part of the process of the seventh day? Cutting your hair. So just like on the seventh day, one of them starts their new disease, the other one doesn't. So too, the difference between them on the seventh day is that one gets the haircut, gets shaved, and one doesn't get shaved. That's, Shvi is a general term for anything that took place on the seventh day, but not necessarily particular to restarting the zero or not. Okay, Tashma. We have another proof. All right, we'll do this proof, and then we'll stop here and continue to our Tashma. Ainli Ella Yemei Tum Ato. Right, I only know that what, if you become Tamei, Chain Ololo Minyan Minyan, that they don't count. If you become Tamei, that you do not count toward Nazirut. That's never written in the Torah. The fact that when you're Tamei, you do not count toward Nazirut, it's not in the Torah, it's a Kal B'chomer. If what, when he becomes Tamei, he loses the days he counted until then, right, certainly he can't count the days that while he is Tamei. That's the Kal B'chomer. Now, Yemei Chaluto Minayim. How do I know someone who became a Mitzoros? This is in Yonah D'Yoma, right, it's Parshat HaShavua. Someone who became a Nazir Mitzorah Mukhlat. He was decided that he's a full-fledged Mitzorah. How do I know while he is a full-fledged Mitzorah that those days do not count towards his Nazirut? Because what does he have to do? If he becomes a full-fledged, right, Mitzorah, what does he do? He has to shave his head. Right, to become Tahor. Right, this is the expression, to become Tahor. Beyond Tarato, what do you have to do when a Mitzvah becomes Tahor? He has to shave his head, he has to bring his karbanot, and he has to bring two birds. They have a whole process there with the sprinkling, letting the birds go free. But one of the things he has to do is shave his head. Guess what? When he shaves his head, that's not going to work for his Nazirut, right? Because he's shaving his head for his Mitzvah. He's pulling his hair to shave it as a Mitzvah, not for a Nazir. But you know, just like at the end of the days of Tumah, the 7 days of Tumah, you take a shave, or maybe karban, and you bring a karban, after you finish being a mitzorah mukhlat, a fully fledged mitzorah, what do you have to do? You have to shave your head and bring a karban. So too, just like when you come to May, they don't count towards your nazirut, they're not going to count towards your nazirut. Now, the difference will be, what the Gemara is going to say, well, how can you compare these two cases? Lo, imamart bimei tumato shukein mevatel behemet akod mim. When it comes to tumah, not only does these days not count for you to watch your nizirut, they ruin all the days you counted till now. right? The peacock ain't a lulim elamini. That's why when you're tamei, they don't count. So my rabbi chalutoshi inu mevatel et hakodmim. When you become a mitzora muchlat, you don't ruin the previous days. You suspend your nazirut. You suspend your nazirut. Then you do your mitzora aspect, and then you start up again afterwards. You don't ruin it. The peacock olam elamini. If that's the case, then maybe by mitzora it should count. Because you can't compare them. A mitzora has a big kula versus a tamei meis. What's that? When you're tamei meis, you lose the days beforehand. By mitzora, you do not lose the days beforehand. So how can you compare the two? Right? So Mar says, well, Amar, Tumad Nazir Bekever, Shisaru, Ro'oi Lutiglachas, Enolim Lo Min Aminyan. So I'll compare it to the case where a Nazir is in a Beit HaKfarot. Right? That even though... that is Se'ar, is, even though he's not a Nazir necessarily, but his Se'ar is Ra'ui Lutiglaka, in Olim Lona Minyan. Now you can't say what? That Hayamim Arishoni Plu. That the first days go away. Why? That's not different over here than a Mitzorah. Because here you were Tamei when you started. You went into the Beit HaKvarot, you took a Nebet Nazirut, or you did it when you were Tamei. There are no first days to fall away. And nevertheless, what do we say? Since your hair is Ra'ui Lutiglaka, you're going to end up having to shave your head in Olim Lona Minyan. Doesn't count towards it. Mech Haluto. So too, by a mitzora, just like by a mitzora you get a haircut at the end, so too those days should not count towards your nazirut. And there you have a koshkin, because now you don't have the tzad of nazir to say that's more chamor. When it's a nazir tahor who came tamei, you have a tzad to say that the nazir is more chamor. Why? Because you lose the first day. Not only do you not count now, but you lose the first day. But here, where he starts, the nazir is the tumah, there are no first days to get rid of. You never got any first days. Now you're in an equivalent state. Both the mitzora and the nazir that started tamei have to shave at the end of their process. They shave at the end of the process, and those days should not count towards their nazirut. So my love to glachas tumah.
What do you have to call that parallel? Because the nazir tumah doesn't have any days because there weren't any days to fall away.
Not even the mitzora. Everybody agrees that mitzora, the days aren't going to fall away.
But there are days there.
Days to...
There were days that he counted it as zero.
Right, but that's not... we're asking now, from the point he becomes Tamei forward, can they count towards Nazirut? Right? So by the Nazir Tamei, we're saying he can't count towards that. Whereas by the Mitzvah Se'ar, you're saying, because he was Tahor beforehand, that should be an impetus to say that he can continue.
It's just saying that they're not the same.
Okay. All right, so we'll see. The Gemara's going to jump around a little bit. We'll see it tomorrow. We won't get to it today because the Gemara's continues. But in my love, Tiglachas Tuma. So what is the comparison here? Is a Tiglachas Tuma. So this will be a proof to which side Ravashi asked the question. Does a Nazir who's Tamei need a Tiglachas on the seventh day or not? You see from this comparison, right? You see from this, how we're trying to prove, how do we know that a Mitzorah, the days don't count towards his nazirut? How do we know that? We know that because the nazir who took his net and his zeros in a beta kvarot is tamei. And what does he do at the seventh day? He gets a tiglachat. And that's just like a mitzora who has to wait his 7 days to get a tiglachat at the end, and therefore they are comparable. So what do you see from that comparison? You see that a nazir bituma gets tiglachat, gets his haircut. So that'll be a proof to one side of Mar Rav Ravashi. So Mar Rav said below that we're talking about tiglachat tahara. We'll get into that tomorrow because it's a little more complicated how our answers here tomorrow. But we'll stop here and continue the talk tomorrow.